Let's get started. Get the timer started. Okay. So, welcome everybody. Thanks for joining me today, early morning session. Today I'm going to be doing a deep dive into Power Query. If you were at my session yesterday, I did end-to-end Power BI. This is going to be more focused solely on Power Query. Maybe I'll talk a little about the data catalog and sharing and capabilities that come along with Power Query. My name is Matt Mason. I am on the Power Query team. I just recently joined. I've been with Microsoft for about 8 years, primarily in the SQL space. I've previously worked on the product called SQL Server Integration Services, which is a full functionality ETL tool. I like to consider Power Query a lightweight ETL tool, a self-service ETL tool. And so my session today is primarily demos. I'm basically going to go through and show a bunch of different capabilities. This is a 300-level talk. I also do 400-level and 500-level talks on Power Query. This talk is going to get progressively from simple data integration scenarios to a bit more complex integration scenarios. Finally, some simple code examples at the end. It's primarily going to be a demo-driven session, so I hope you guys are okay with that. Let's first talk about what you want to do. What's the purpose of Power Query, right? This common functionality you need to do is getting data into Excel. Most people need to do this in some way, because you're either manually entering it in or you're importing your data from some external source. There's lots of different data sources out there. It'd be great if all data was sitting in SQL Server, but unfortunately, that's not the case. So you need to be able to connect to different data sources. You need to be able to connect to text files and web pages and other things like that to bring data in. You typically need to filter and shape your data as well. I always like to say data is rarely BI ready, right? You need to do something to the data, either reformat it, split it into columns, take out bad values, or just filter down the data to select only the data you want. There's really some sort of filtering and shaping of the data you need to do to get the data in. And you usually want to create something that's refreshable, right? So it's not just a one-time copy and paste. And you can do that in Excel. You can copy a bunch of data, paste it in. That's really a one-time operation. But ideally, this filtering and shaping is refreshable so that if the data in the backend systems change, you can refresh at a later date and bring it in. So let's talk about the current state of things. So it's Excel Data Tab, right? Excel has had this forever. There's a lot of great functionality here. It lets you connect to a variety of different data sources. And there's some really neat features, like the From Web will actually give you a visual view. You can actually pick the tables on that web page. It's great. One of the things about the Data Tab is that there hasn't been much iteration on it in the past few releases. There's been some new functionality, like in 2013, they added OData support. There's also varying experiences. You'll notice there's very different designers or very different experiences depending on the data source that you're actually pointing to. Anybody use MS Query still? A couple of people. So I was actually surprised that MS Query still exists in here. And if you pop it up, it looks like a Windows 95 dialog, right? It's reusing that MS Query functionality that was added to Excel a while ago. It's also the second data tab. Anybody use this one? This is the data tab within Power Pivot. So Power Pivot was an add-in for Excel in 2010, right? And it was baked into Excel in 2013. It's there by default. And it lets you access the Excel data model. Right? The Excel data model lets you load larger amounts of data, lets you do some advanced BI modeling on top of it. I'll talk about that a bit today. But this data tab within Power Pivot lets you import data directly into the data model. In Excel 2013, there's actually an option. Anytime you import data, you can always check the box, say, import to data model. But previously, you had to go into Power Pivot to do it. And you can connect to a variety of sources here, some of the same data sources you can do with the data tab, some additional data sources. The experience is more streamlined, I guess. Most of the data sources are the same. Bit of internal knowledge here. Power Pivot was originally developed by the analysis service team, the SQL Server Analysis Services team, and they already had a bunch of connectivity that they basically brought over to this experience. The main difference between the Power Pivot import and the Excel data import is you can set filters as part of your import. So actually filter the data before bringing it in. And one of the things is having these two data import experiences is a bit confusing to some users. Users don't know which one they're using. And so we solve this confusion by introducing a third way of getting data into Excel, and that is Power Query. But in all seriousness, Power Query is, we like to say, the wave of the future, the future way to get data into Excel. And you're going to see tighter and tighter integration into Excel as we move forward. So let's talk about Power Query briefly, and then I'll just go into some demos. So Power Query is about enabling self-service ETL, self-service data transformations. It's able to connect to a wide range of data sources. We're continually adding new data sources that we can connect to. It is great at dealing with large amounts of data. So when you connect to a data source in Power Query, it's going to give you a preview of data. So you see a small preview, you can do your work on it, you click import, then it's going to suck in the rest of the data. So you can work with very large data sets. There's a consistency of experience. So no matter what data source you're connecting to, other than the initial connection part, once you connect to the data source, there's a consistent experience for every source that we can connect to. And each data source will have the same amount of functionality. So transformations I can do on one data source also work on other data sources. One of the design goals for Power Query is to not have any cliffs, right? You should just have this streamlined experience. All data sources should behave the same way. It also lets you do joins across data sources. So Power Query was originally called Data Explorer, and Data Explorer was pitched as a data mashup language. They kept talking about this mashup term because it was a cool term. The original Data Explorer actually ran solely in the cloud. And it was all about bringing in data from a bunch of different data sources, mashing them together to give you a single view. And it still does this today. It's basically, you can use Power Query to create these custom views over a number of different data sources to give you a single data set view of that. And I'll talk about that today as well. So that was the intro for Power Query, and now I'm going to jump over to Excel. And I might come back to some slides later on, but this will be primarily a demo-driven session. So here we have Excel. Here we have the Power Query tab. So Power Query is an add-in download. There were actually two versions of this add-in. So the original version of Power Query came out early last year. That was our V1. If you download Power Query and it doesn't look like what you're seeing here, you see some differences, you might have V1. The main thing to look for is that organizational button. So if your add-in doesn't have this, you are on V1. Make sure you download the V2. There's a lot more capabilities, and it's the V2, the latest version of V2 that I'm going to be showing today. The version I'm using might be slightly different. The version I'm using isn't actually out yet, but it should be out very soon. And I'll call out the main differences there. So yeah, you download your add-in, you get a new ribbon in Excel, and it looks a lot like the data tab, actually. And you can import from a variety of data sources, so from files, from databases, and from other data sources. Earlier this week, we announced support for SAP Business Objects BI Universe, which is a really long term. And lots of other data sources in there as well. So one of the things I like most about Power Query is the search capabilities. So on the Power Query tab, you have this search thing. One of the challenges that people face, that information workers face, is finding the data they can use to do self-service BI. And this is where that search comes in. As soon as I saw this, it was an aha moment for me for Data Explorer at the time. This lets me search existing data sets. And so I can type in something like, income. And it's going to give me a bunch of different data results. So as you see, I have some data coming in from data.gov. I have some Wikipedia information as well. Right, this is what we call our public data catalog. There's a bunch of different data providers here that we've already onboarded into our public data catalog, we call it. And once I've found a result, I can hover over it like this, and I see a nice preview of the data, some details, details of the data source, what columns, description, and things like that. So that's built in. If you have Power Query, you're able to search the public data catalog. If you have Power BI, you can also search what we call the enterprise data catalog, so data that's been shared within your organization. You can control the search, the scope of your search up here and also in the dropdown over here. So if I want to search for data within my organization for my first demo, I'll do an Olympics demo. But this is a data set that I previously shared amongst my organization. So I can do a search, it comes up, and then I can pull it in to Power Query. I can either just click Add to Worksheet and just import the data as is, as the person published it, or I can click Edit and bring up the Power Query editor. So it's going to go and fetch that data, or sorry, fetch the definition, that query definition that was published to the catalog. When you share data within your organization, you're not sharing the data, you're only sharing the query itself. And the Power Query editor comes up. So you see over a ribbon, there's a bunch of transformation options you can have. It's going to pull in the data, actually run the query, pull in the data, give you a view of it. This is always a sample of the data. It's going to be a subset of the data that you're working with. We try to get 100 rows, but depending on the data source and the number of columns you have, you might get less than that. And we might filter it down based on size. And I can start doing some simple transformations, like splitting. So I'm going to split by delimiter. And I have a single space. Most of the ribbon options will bring up this type of dialog. We call it a builder that lets you specify the different options. So I'm just going to split on dash here. Now I have two columns. I'm going to do a trim operation to remove any blank spaces in there that was caused by the split. And I can rename this IOC code. I'll rename this country. Actually, I had an extra split there. So let me remove that. So this data set is actually pulling in the latest medal counts. So I guess this is the final medal counts from the Sochi Olympics. Maybe I will add a simple aggregation here. I want to add a total medals column. So I'll go to Insert, Insert Sum, call this total. And maybe I want to sort by total medal count. And I have a lot of data here, so I'm just going to apply a simple filter. So I can right-click on the thing and say, add a filter. So I only want countries that got more than one medal in the Olympics. And sorting, so it shows that Russia's on top. Maybe I'll remove this column. I don't really care about the IOC code. And maybe I'll remove the individual medal counts. So now I have the country and the total amounts. I'm happy with that. I can click Apply. And now I'm importing my data into my workbook. Okay. So Power Query tries to make it as easy as possible to do these sets of transformations just by clicking. And as we'll see later, underneath there's actually a formula language you can go into as well. But one of the main goals behind Power Query is to make it as easy as possible to actually perform all these transformations. Okay. So that was some of the simpler text-based transformations. Next, I'm going to show a slightly more complicated scenario that involves merging multiple data sets. So there's a site out there called gapminder.com. It's done by Hans Rosling. And he had a TED Talk where he shows lots of different world data, like population data, different world statistics. And this is a great set of data for demoing. There's some really interesting things behind here. So you can go to the data set and search for the different data sets. The first one I'm going to do is the body mass index, the BMI. So it's a health indicator. How healthy somebody is worldwide, and it's broken down by country. Here I'm going to copy the URL to that download, to the actual data. From Power Query, I'm going to click the From Web button, paste in that URL, and Power Query is going to connect to it and brings out the navigator. So the navigator will fly out anytime you're connecting to a data set that is browsable. So, for example, if you connect to a SQL database, a SQL Server instance, it's going to show all the databases on that. If you connect to an individual database, it will show you the tables on that, right? Any sort of browsable experience will have a flyout with the navigator. In this case, that data set had multiple sub-data sets. We have found multiple tables within that data set. So I can hover over to see which data I want, and it looks like it's this first one right here. So I'm going to click Edit to bring up the query editor. So this is what my data looks like. I have all my countries. I have a bunch of numbers. I can see it by that top line right there. That's actually what I want to use as my column headers. Click the Use First Row as Headers button to move that up there. Now, there's a problem with this data for when you're doing analysis on this. This is, used to be called a crosstab or a pivot of data. This is essentially an end report, right? You can easily look and match a country and year, but it's actually hard to use this format of data for BI or to do practical reporting on it. Right, this is called pivoted data. Power Query has some advanced transformations built in, like unpivot. So I can select all those columns, click unpivot, and now I have my data unpivoted. Really simple thing. Usually when I do that, I see people nodding or really happy. I had one guy said, this removes about half the work I do in a week, which made me really sad inside. So these advanced transformations, really common transformations. One of the things I like most about Power Query is how quickly the team has been able to iterate on it. I wish I could take credit, but I've only been on the team for about a month. Unpivot, for example, was feedback we got from users early on in the previews, and they basically added it in the next iteration. We've been releasing monthly. So really customer-driven, user-driven feedback picks our features. Okay, so I've done this, filtered it out. I'm going to make sure that this is recognized as a number. So I'm going to go and change type, make that a number. Rename, this is year, this is BMI. I'll rename my query to BMI. I click apply and bring in. Now there's a couple other interesting data sets in there. So there's BMI, there's total GDP, and total population. Those are the three data sets that I want to show. I'm going to be duplicating a demo that Hans Rosling did, basically. For the other data sets, I'm going to search my corporate data catalog again, because I had previously done these things. So I'll do GDP. So this was a report I previously did, but I'm going to edit this one a little bit. So basically what I'm showing here is that I'm taking some public data. I'm also taking some data that's been published within my organization. In this case, they're coming from the same data source, but this could be coming from a local SQL server. This could be coming from another corporate data source. And I'm going to merge them together. So with this data set, the only problem is that I have more years. My BMI data only started at 1980. There's a lot more rows in this one. Some of the population statistics go back to the 1800s. So I'm just going to add a filter here and take out the rows I don't really need. So I'm going to say all rows less than or equal to 1980. I want it greater than or equal to 1980. So I've applied my filter there. You notice that we have this formula bar too. I can quickly do edits. I also have this steps window to like see the different steps. And anytime you see a gear on this on the right here, it means that there's a builder. I can click that and it will bring up that UI again. So I click the gear and I have that filter rows UI again. Let me rename this to GDP. Click apply. And we're going to do one more, which is my population statistics. Online search, let's do population, and that's the one I want. And I'm going to do the same transformations on this. I'm going to filter out by the filter on the year. So I can either click on that button up here and go to the number filters, or I can actually find the value that I want to filter on, like 1980, right click, and just do it directly that way. So I want greater than or equal to 1980. Click apply. So now I have three different data sets. Now I want to do some analysis on them. I want to merge them together. So I'm going to show another powerful feature of Power Query, which is the merge. So up here I have two main things, merge and append. These are both very useful when you're doing data modeling. If you want to merge these queries together, basically flatten it out. Instead of having two tables, you want to flatten it down to one table. This is one of the, especially for append, if you're doing Power Pivot, if you're bringing in data from multiple data sources, being able to bring it into a single step with this append is very, very handy. So I'll click merge. It's going to bring up my two options here. So I have my two different tables. So let me zoom in so you guys can see. I'm going to select my keys. So I've, in this case, I have two keys, country and year. Whoops, that was the wrong button. Do that again. So GDP, BMI, country and year. So I've selected my keys, and down here we do a quick analysis that's saying it's matched the first 5,000 rows out of 7,000 rows. That's fine. I have a button here that says include only matching rows. So in SQL terms, this would basically be an inner join. With this unselected, it's an outer join, bringing in all the data. I'm going to click OK. And it brings up the query editing experience. So when I do a merge, by default, it's going to embed that merge table as an extra column, and then I have the option to expand. There's that little button up here. Clicking that will let me expand and let me select which of those subcolumns I want to include in my query. I can also select one of the columns itself, and I'll see the data related to that. So there's a couple of different embedded types that Power Query can do. It can do a table, it can do a record, and for all of these you can click and you'll see the actual data contained in between. If I click on the table itself, like if I actually click on this table value, it's going to drill in. It's basically a drill down to that data set. And I'll show that, even though that's not what I want to do. If I click there, now I'm down, now this is my actual view. So I can drill down between data sets. And if I don't like a step, actually in this case I need to go back, there's the navigator at the left that lets me navigate my hierarchy. And for certain steps, I can just delete from my steps list here. So in this case, I want to expand my columns. So I click that button and I see the subcolumns within that table. I'm going to just import the BMI value. And then I want to do merge, a three-way merge. I want to merge that other data set I created, which was population. So select that query here, similar, country year, include the matching rows. Okay, expand that. There's a lot of laughing and clapping going on behind me. Maybe we should be in that session instead. And now I have... So three-way merge. I have all my data together, the country, the year, the GDP, BMI, and population. Bring all that together. So again, here's my steps window. I can actually see the data that as it goes through the different steps. So I have my source, which was my merge. I expanded the column. I renamed the column. I did the merge. I expanded again. And at any point, I can go back to a previous step to see what that data looked like, and I can also delete that step if I want to back up. So we'll call this GDP, BMI, and population. And Power Query has two different load modes. You can load to the worksheet like I've been doing previously. It will land it in an Excel worksheet. I can actually turn off loading altogether, and then it's just a connection sitting in your workbook that's not actually doing anything. Or I can load to the data model. I'll do that. So anybody here frequently use the data model in Excel? Okay, so about half the audience. Good question. What's the advantage of using the data model? So the data model lets you work with bigger data sets. So basically Power Pivot lets me load the data in. Power Pivot has its own compression algorithm, so it'll highly compress the data so it can fit more into the workbook and also fit more into memory. There is essentially no row limit when you load to the data model. Your only limit is how much memory you have on your machine, basically. And it lets you do some advanced modeling capabilities that make reporting on top of the data a lot easier. So I'll show that really, really basic here. So I'm going to load this one to the data model. When I click Apply, I see it's spinning, loading the data. It's going to go out. and pull the data into my data model. It tells me how many rows I've loaded, and now it's done. Right. The comment was there's two different versions of Power Query. There's actually two different versions of Excel, right? The 32-bit and 64-bit. You need to install the right bitness. So if you have 32-bit Excel, you install 32-bit Power Query. My recommendation, anytime you're doing BI in Excel, use the 64-bit version. So if you're using 32-bit, you're limited to the amount of memory that the process can use. It's a little over 2 gigs of memory. With 64-bit, there's essentially no limit to the amount of memory you're using. So I always recommend if you're doing Power Query, if you're doing any sort of BI or big data manipulation, always use the 64-bit version of Excel. Yep. The clarification about Power Pivot is Power Pivot, yes. Power Pivot does come with Office 2013. It's there by default. You have to enable it to be able to see it. It's a COM add-in that you enable to be able to see it up in your ribbon. But yes, it is built in with Office 2013. In Office 2010, it's a separate download that you install in. Okay, so I've loaded my data to the data model. I can click this Manage button. I go to the Power Pivot tab, click Manage, and now I can see the data within my data model. Now, typically, if I was doing self-service BI, if I was building a data model, I'd be doing things like adding relationships between tables, creating different calculated functions, adding measures, adding KPIs, and things like that. I talked a bit about that in my session yesterday. In this case, all I want to do is something really simple. I'm going to notice that as the year value is imported in, it flagged it as a decimal number. In Power Query, you just basically say whether a column is a number or not a number. Here, I want to say that my year is a whole number. Otherwise, it gets visualized weird within my reports. Another common thing that you'll want to do in Power Pivot is flag the data category. So here I've selected my country field. And notice there's a data category field. In this case, it auto-detected it as country. But when I flag data categories, this could be country, it can be state, it can be locations, it can be geocoding, like the latitude and longitude. It's very useful to add these attributes to the data columns, because that way when you're using things like Power View or Power Map, it automatically knows how to map those columns and what fields to put where. So having a good data model makes doing BI a lot easier. That's a very good point, too. So I'll do that right now. So for the different columns, I can, especially numeric columns, there's a summarize value. Certain columns you don't want to summarize. For example, year, right? You don't want to sum up a year by default, do the total year. You might want to do average sometimes for a year. In this case, I don't want any summarization, so I'm going to turn off summarization for the year column. Okay, so that's my data model. I'm going to go back and do some really quick reporting on this. So I will insert a Power View report. I will select the table that I just created, which is the GDP BMI population. That's not the one I want. Let's delete that. So I have not population by country. I want this other one here. So I'll add BMI, country, GDP, and let's make this a scatter plot. Whoops, yeah. Make this bigger. And let me add population on there too. It's going to be the size. And let me add the year as my play axis. And if I play that, it's a bit too many data points to actually see well. So let me add population to my filter. I'm just going to filter out just some of the bigger countries, just so we have a bit less dots on here. Okay, so basically what this report is showing is BMI, GDP, and population. So on the y-axis, we have the GDP, so basically the indication of a country's income or wealth. The bottom axis, we have BMI, so basically the an indicator of health. And then we're going to play over years. And so the bubbles will move over time. And so here, as bubbles are moving up, it means countries are getting richer. And as the countries move to the right, countries are getting fatter. So as we see, there's actually a correlation. Over time, countries are getting richer and fatter, with the U.S. leading the way. One of the interesting things, if we watch watch down here, that this green dot for South Africa, it gets to a point somewhere in the 2000s where it just shoots to the right really, really fast. Like you see it moving really quickly there. One of the neat visualizations you can do in Power View is click on a data point afterwards. Let me zoom in there. So you can see how fast it moved for each of these data points. You can see like the US's trajectory goes up and down, but it's pretty steady growth towards high BMI. And some other the big countries like China or India. India is just inching along. But anyways, this sort of interesting visualization, right, is some of the the power. I like showing this demo because it shows off the power of self-service BI, right? I was easily able to grab three different data sets, merge it all together into a single data set, create a really simple data model on top of it, and then visualize it, right, in just a couple of minutes.
Why aren't the sizes of those circles changing over time?
So the size, I've set it to population, so the size is just slowly growing. It's just because it's not, population doesn't fluctuate rapidly. I could have reversed this for different things. I could have the BMI on the size layer because I actually show it better as the population is getting bigger, but I think it keeps things too close together. I've tried a couple of different visualizations here, but yeah. Yeah, so when you do this scatter plot and the play axis, you have the X value, the Y value, a size, the details, and then you have your actual play axis for time. Great, so I showed some simple transformations. I showed some more advanced transformations. Let me talk about sharing a little bit. So if I really like this data set that I just created, I can right click and share if I have Power BI capabilities, I should say. I can, right-click, click share, and on this dialog, I can now share this with other people within my organization. Okay, so this is the one Power Query feature that requires a Power BI license. Everything else works without Power BI. But this way, I can enter in a name, I can enter in a description, I can give some details about the data source itself, and when I click share, it's going to send it to my corporate data catalog. I can control who actually has access to it. I can provide a documentation URL, like a data dictionary, a link to a document that's going to tell the user more about what each column actually means. I'm going to share. And what this sharing action actually does is it doesn't share the data. Actually, I should call that out, the last step there. When I click share, it doesn't actually share the data unless I select this last box here, which will upload the first couple of rows, just so I get that flyout, that preview. But it's not sharing the data with its corporate catalog. It's sharing the query definition. Okay? So if somebody else searches for it and pulls it down, all they basically get is that definition. So in SQL terms, it's the equivalent of sharing your SQL statement. Okay? When that user runs it, they will get, and they hit a data source that they don't have access to, they'll be prompted. They'll actually get prompts. So there's no credential sharing. There's no Power Query never embeds credentials within the workbook. When somebody else consumes this, they'll get prompted as they go. Every time Power Query hits a new data source that you doesn't know how to connect to, it prompts you, and I will talk more about that a bit later as well. I can share. If I want to update it, I could update the query and then click update again. A couple other buttons in Power Query I just want to call out before I move on to the next demo. If you don't have that query pane, you can bring it back by clicking Power Query and click Workbook. Okay, so if I click Workbook, it's going to show me all the current queries that I have in this workbook. If I want to see all the queries that I've shared with my data catalog, I can click the Shared button, and now I see these are all queries that I previously shared within my data catalog. Notice if you were in my session yesterday, some of these are from that. So those are those two extra buttons. Any questions about sharing? Yep. Nope. That was a fantastic question. So the question is, if I've created a data model and the underlying data changes, does it automatically update? So remember I said at the beginning of the talk, what you want to do in Excel is create refreshable queries, right? All Power Query queries are refreshable. It's basically going to go back and apply all those steps. So I can trigger it the regular way. I can go to the data and do refresh all, and it's going to refresh. I can trigger individual refresh just by clicking this button down here, and it's going to reload that data. I can also cancel if I don't want to load all the data afterwards. I can click cancel. And that's automatically going to update itself within the data model. If I edit my query or rename my query or add or remove columns and I click refresh, that will automatically update in the data model as well. Unless I've gone into Power Pivot and I've started changing the table or removing columns or doing different things to the table, at that point it breaks the relationship because we don't want to refresh, drop your table, remove all the work that you've done, for example. Okay, that was a very good question, thanks. Any other questions before I move on? Yeah. So if I take this workbook and I give it to another user, yeah, they'll see all the data that's in the workbook that's saved. When they click refresh, then they'll get prompted to enter credentials for those data sources or whatever. In this case, it was all web credentials. They'd never even be prompted. We'd just go out and grab it. But yeah, so when you share a workbook, of course, the data in the workbook stays in the workbook. So the question is about if I want to have a workbook and I want to segment the data, I have different departments, I want them to see different things. I think that's a longer question because there's a bunch of different ways to do that. I might not answer that now. I can get back to that. Let's talk after the session. Okay. So, yep, sure. So the question is, if you don't have Power BI on-premise, yes, you can just save this workbook to on-premise SharePoint, and you still have access to the data model and everything like that. Refreshing, no. So Power Query doesn't refresh with on-prem SharePoint at this point. But, of course, it's a capability that, yeah. In the future, we expect that would be one of the capabilities that would be there. Okay. So let me go on to the next demo. So Power Query, like I said, is a lot of the functionality in Power Query, it's about saving you time. So doing common operations. Like I said, we're very driven. The features we add are very driven by user feedback and what they're doing. So common operation would be to connect to a file, right? So I have a number of different options, connect to an existing workbook, CSV, XML, text, folder. And even under text, Power Query has different understandings of how you can parse a text document. Like you can point to a JSON document. There's no from JSON, but once you point to a text document, you right-click on it and say, this is JSON. Power Query knows how to interpret that and break that into a table structure. In this case, I'm just going to import from a simple CSV file. I have a directory here. No, that's not my directory, but let's find it. Desktop, data, simple customers CSV file. So this is typical customer data. You'll notice that we actually we call this auto-stepping. We implied a couple of steps. So I pointed to the data source, and we automatically detected that this first column is probably headers, so they elevated that. And then they auto-detected data types, so we auto-did that as well. So here's my source. We detected that the first row was headers, so we elevated that. And then we did some type inference. By looking at the different values in the columns, we could guess at the different data types. So this case, I just want to do another split. So split by delimiter. I'm going to split by, in this case, I'm going to split by a comma. Take the leftmost delimiter. So now I split this into family name. Given name. I can reorder the columns by dragging and dropping. I could also do some really simple data correction stuff. So if I scroll down here, there's some bad phone numbers in there or some phone numbers at least in a format that I don't want. So I could do a right click and replace values. And I can replace just that first part there, because they all follow that same format. Just replace it with an empty value. And that's somewhat corrected my values there. There's also some capabilities like fill down. Right? So if you have missing values, you can do a fill down. It will use the previous value, kind of like typical Excel functionality. I can do that all part of my query. So that's connecting to a single flat file. Let me show you something a bit more complicated. So if I look at my directory structure here, I have sales data here. In this directory, I have a bunch of sales data split across multiple CSV files. So typical, partitioning your data, all my sales are split by year. I also have a header document in there that shows what the headers are going to be. I can go to from file and do from folder. Point this to a folder. Browse to that data directory. So I do from folder, it's actually going to show me the folder contents. Right? So I have the names of the files, the extensions. I even have file attributes. Like I can click on the file attributes, bring this box down. So I can actually see the kind, the size, all the different file attribute flags and stuff. So if I wanted to filter on specific attributes, I could do it this way. But in this case, I want all the different files. Now there's a magic button. There's a magic button right there. That means combine. I mean binary combine. When I click that, it's going to combine all my files together within that directory. And let's click it and see what happens. So now it's imported in all my data. And it's done the same type of transformation that we did before. So I have my source. I did combine binaries by clicking that button. It detected that the data was actually a CSV file. It elevated things first row as header. And then it detected the data types and did the data type transition for me. So that combined all the data. So if I click apply, so let's see, my data was partitioned by year. Here the ship date is 2005. If I keep scrolling down, I see that it seamlessly transitioned to 2006 data. All right, so combined all these files together. You can take this to an extreme. Yeah, question? The question is, will it find data in subfolders or in the root folder? In this case, it'll do the root folder only. There's ways using code and tweaking the combination to flatten all the folders into a single table. Actually, I think you can do that in the UI too. You could flatten all the subfolders into a single table and then parse them all that way. I'll show a bit more of an advanced scenario later where I use a code combination to parse Excel files in the same way. I have a directory of Excel files and I can parse them all in. Zip files? We don't do zip files natively. I don't think so anyway, so it's something I actually haven't tried. But yeah, I believe it's just text files right now. Okay, so I'll take this a bit more of an extreme example here. And I will connect to a big data source. Anybody using HD Insight? No? So here I'm actually going to connect. So HD Insight is Microsoft's Hadoop story on Azure. So let's say you do big data Hadoop processing on Azure. What I'm going to do here is connect to my backend storage for my HD Insight cluster, where I've previously calculated large amounts of data. In this case, I'm going to be using Stock Exchange data. So I've run my complicated queries over my big data, and it's filtered down to a data set that's about a gig in size. And I'm going to show how I can load all that in Power Query. So I will do from data sources, HD Insight, and I enter in my name of my Azure account. And my navigator here shows me my storage container for HD Insight. And now I'm going to see basically a raw view of all the different data sets on my HD Insight cluster. In this case, I'm interested in the NASDAQ daily prices. So I'm going to do a text filter on that. Actually, let me change that. I'm going to do a text filter that begins with this, and I'm going to filter this out. I want daily prices. So take all the files that start with NASDAQ daily prices, and now I have a bunch of different files. Now if I look at the file size, that's what, 1, 2, 3, so about 19 megs, and all of the files are between 19 and 50 megs on this. And I'm going to do my magic binary combine thing again. And it's going to combine all those files together. We see we've auto-detected stuff. And again, so I'm working with, in this case, not a gig of data, but it's at least a few hundred megs of data. But it's still very fast, very snappy, because again, I said we pull in a sample of the data. So if I scroll down to the bottom, it's actually telling me that this data is a preview and the data has been truncated. Because I don't want to bring down all the data and wait for you to bring the data down before I can start doing transformations on it. So in this case, I could filter out. Let's just say we're interested in the high and low and the stock volume. So I'll remove these columns. I know it's the NASDAQ exchange, so I'll remove that one. So I have my set of transformations. I click apply. Actually, let me cancel that because I said load to worksheet. I probably don't want to load that much data to the worksheet. So that same button that lets me do refresh lets me do cancel as well. So if it's loading and I realize, wait, I shouldn't have done that, I can open this up again and change the load settings to say load to the data model. If I'm working with hundreds of megs of data, I want that to go to the data model. Click apply. And so you can see it's pinging out to the server and it's going to start loading all my rows and bringing all the rows down. The question is, does this work with Active Directory? And actually, I'm not going to show that full thing, so let me just cancel that. Yes, it does. So Active Directory is one of our sources. If I could find it. Yeah, so we do connect to Active Directory. And we are always adding more sources. There's lots of data sources that people want to connect to. Question? So the question is, are there plans to take these Power Query definitions and push that into SSIS? I forget if I said at the beginning or not, but I'm actually originally from the SSIS team and just recently joined Power Query. That would be a great feature. I'd love to be able to see, sort of like today, you can take a Power Pivot model and move that into a tabular model, right? I'd love to see the same thing for Power Query. You take your Power Query definition and you want to operationalize these transformations, make it, schedule it, have structured logging, a thing like that. So you want to be able to move it in. I could definitely see that as a feature that is that of value and something that we'd like to deliver. Yeah. Okay. So the question is about visualizations in SharePoint. Let's talk about that afterwards. I'm not exactly sure with the SharePoint. I don't want to say anything incorrect, especially on a recording. But we have a couple other experts in the audience who will be able to answer that. For sure. Yeah. Talk to that guy. Okay, or that guy. All right. So, any questions about any more questions about this? I'll go back to some slides and talk about some more of the advanced topics. Okay, so let's switch back here and talk about some of the more tricky topics. Has anybody seen a Power Query presentation before? Or sorry, is this the first time somebody's seen Power Query or a deep dive on Power Query? Okay, so good, most of the audience. Power Query's been out for a while, and I've seen some of the other presenters do the topic, and they always wow the audience, right? All this great functionality. And I wanted to talk a bit more about some of the internals, right? This is meant to be a deep dive. These are some of the more internal topics that most Power users won't care about, but I find it's really good information to know, especially if you're teaching Power Query to other people. One of the key concepts, one of the key important things about Power Query is something we call query folding. And this term is called query push down or optimization push down or different things. Basically, it means that all those transformations that you do in Power Query will try to push that back to the source system. So the source system does all the work. OK? Okay? So for example, if in Power Query, I point to a database table, I remove some columns, I rename a column, and I add a number filter, what ends up getting generated, Power Query is going to look at that end-to-end, all the transformation steps that you're doing, and push that into a single query that runs at the source. Okay? So Power Query does this for as many data sources as it can. It works best with relational sources where you can actually do this type of functionality. But as you see, so by selecting the columns that I want, that becomes part of the select statement, right? I don't select extra columns if they're not used in the query. I push the rename into the source. I push the filter into a where clause. Okay? And this is one of the key, the key features of Power Query that we don't do a good job of calling it out, because this is really powerful functionality. It means that you're not always doing everything in memory or doing everything locally. You're letting your source system do the work for you. So what actually gets folded? Lots of things. There's a huge matrix that doesn't even fit on a slide. But most common things are column and row filters. Those are the most important ones, right? Get pushed to the source so you're not pulling in data that you don't actually need. It does joins. So if I'm joining two data sets or two tables within the same server, it's going to push the join back into the source query. Pivot and unpivot, group bys, different calculations and aggregations, depending on what the source system supports. But if I'm doing like a sum or something like that, it will actually push that aggregation back to the source query and let the source calculate it. That lets the source leverage its indexes and things like that for faster calculations. Right? The functionality depends on the actual data source. So relational sources have the most functionality, right? SQL and Oracle and DB2 and MySQL and Postgres and all the other relational sources that we can connect to. We also fold to other things like OData, Active Directory, Exchange. It really depends on the data source and the capabilities that they support. Remember I said earlier on that Power Query is meant to not have any cliffs, right? So if Power Query can't fold something to a source system, it just does the work itself locally. So every transformation that you do, Power Query is always able to do that locally, but it will try to push back to the source as an optimization whenever it can. Okay, so you'll never hit a case where you've done a transformation but that data source doesn't support it.
Will that be SharePoint and
CAML,
for example?
Do we go to SharePoint and the CAML? That I'm not sure. I know we do it with SharePoint OData. I'm not exactly sure what I believe when we connect to SharePoint, we're using the OData APIs. Things that affect the folding. Three main things. One is internal Power Query logic, right? There are times where Power Query will figure out that folding isn't ideal in this case, or it'll be too expensive to do, so we just do it all in memory. Native database query, and I'll mention that in the next. With Power Query, I can point to a database table, and I can do my transformations, or I can just enter in a SQL statement, and it will just run that, basically pass through that SQL statement and bring the data back, and then I do transformations on top of that. People get really excited about this because people have existing SQL statements. They're like, okay, great, I can just paste that in and then do my transformations on top of that. But that breaks the folding mechanism. If you're using the database query, we just run it as is. We can't add to it, we can't fold to it. So it's something to keep in mind when you're using that feature. Finally, the data source privacy level, which I'll talk about on the next slide. As a reminder, I mentioned this earlier about Power Query and how it stores credentials. So Power Query doesn't put any credentials inside the workbook. It will store it locally on your machine in an encrypted file that's specific for your user. We're using Microsoft DP APIs and your user key to do the encryption. Everything gets stored locally. Nothing goes into the workbook. So if I give the workbook or give the query to somebody else to run, they will get prompted the first time they try to access the data source. So you see in my demos, I've been connecting to these data sources and I never got prompted, right? Connected to HD Insight, I didn't get prompted. Some people think that's witchcraft, but it's actually because I have already entered in those credentials. And if I want to see credentials I previously entered or edit those or remove them or delete them, I can click the data source settings button on the Power Query tab and it's going to pop up and show me my list of data sources. The other setting that data sources have is privacy level. We've gone through so many iterations on how to describe this. This used to be called the data firewall and there's all kinds of things. But basically, it comes down to query folding. Okay? For certain types of folds, say you're doing a merge between data sets, we could take data from one side and fold that into the query that goes to the other side, so basically passing data from one source to another to optimize the join. We don't want to do that if you're joining, say you have a public web service or a public database, right? We don't want to take your private customer data and fold that to a public source. Privacy levels let you tell Power Query when to fold and when not to fold, basically. So it will let you join private to private. It will let you take public data and fold that to a private server, but it doesn't let you do the other way, right? It doesn't want to, basically wants to prevent data leakage or privacy leakage within your organization. So the first time you have to do a join, or if it's if Power Query is going to do a join, it will prompt you for a privacy level, and you can enter your privacy level. And Power Query then remembers that, and we'll use that the next time. Any questions on that? I'll show quick demos about how that works up next. Okay. So let me connect to, I haven't done any relational stuff yet, so let me just connect to a simple database first. So I'll do from SQL Server, and I'll connect to my local host. It's my local SQL Server running on my machine. And I get a navigator, so it shows my SQL Server instance at the top, and it shows me all my databases that are running here. I'm going to connect here and say I'll do dim currency. Click edit. Bring that up. One of the things that one of the other things that Power Query does is it detects relationships. So I got a question earlier, does Power Query do star schemas? And we don't really know what star schemas are, but we do know what foreign key relationships are, and relationships are between tables. Okay? So in this case, I'm importing my currency dimension, which has some related dimensions and then some related fact tables. All right, so these are basically suggestions that maybe I want to flatten this view. I want to take the data, combine it all into a single table, and I can do that with that expand capabilities. So in this case, I don't care about my fact tables, so I'm going to remove those. And I can select, say, the organization name that is using that currency, and I can then flatten that in. So now I don't need two tables, I'm bringing it down to one. And I'll show a more complicated example of that in just a bit. That relationship detection becomes very handy when you're working with the Excel data model, because Excel data model wants to know about relationships too, so it knows how to join tables together. Right? So Power Query will actually translate the relationships it detects between tables when you're importing them into your Power Pivot model for you. So if I want to select multiple items, so I'll select currency, product, category, subcategory, and let's take a fact table. Actually, so remember I said this was an early build or a new build that's not out yet? This is one of the main UI features that is new. We have this called a selection well. As I select my tables, it's going to show all my selected items, so I don't have to keep scrolling up my list to figure out what I selected. So if you're using the current version of Power Query, you won't have this. That's basically the only UI difference that you'll see. Notice that by default it said load to data model because I've selected multiple tables here. I click load. And it's going to, It's going to query all these things in parallel and load them all in parallel into my data model. You notice that sometimes after it's loaded the data, it says detecting relationships. That's when it's looking at the foreign key relationships between the tables, so I can translate that into the data model as well. So that's loaded. Let me just clean this up a bit. I'm going to take away the tables that I had previously loaded to the data model, or the queries I had previously loaded to the data model. It's still working here. Delete this one. And what was the other one? I loaded this one. So let me delete that. Now if I go to Power Pivot and click Manage, this is my data view. I can click the diagram view, and it's going to show my data model here. So it showed that here's my fact table, and it's related to the products table and the currency table, right? So it actually detected that and imported that in. It basically helps you with your data modeling. That relationship detection comes in very handy when you are trying to collapse tables. So in data warehousing terms, there's a star schema where you have a fact table and a bunch of dimensions, and a snowflake schema where you have a table with dimensions and subdimensions and related dimensions and spread it all out. Snowflake dimensions work well in a lot of scenarios, but for reporting, the star schema works best, especially in PowerPivot, because PowerPivot will compress duplicated data. It compresses duplicated data really well. So using a star schema works very well in PowerPivot. So that's what I'm going to show here. So here I have my fact table, my internet sales, with product and then two subdimensions. So I have product and subcategory and product category. I'm going to collapse those two things down into one. So let me do that now. I'm going to edit product. And I can expand my product subcategory. So I will pull in my English product name, for example. Actually, to clear this up, let me just select the columns I want. So I'll take my product key, my product name, and the things I just expanded. Click Remove Other Columns. So now I've just expanded this one. I want to expand this one as well. This is the product category, so I just want to bring in the English product name here. And maybe I want to filter out all my null values just to make this nicer. So does not equal null. All right, and so now I basically collapse. So I have my product and subcategory and category all in a single table. So I've gone from my snowflake schema to a star schema. When I click Apply, it's going to reload and then update my data model accordingly. Oh, because, I had too many columns in there. Let me delete this and delete this. In that case, I had removed one of my keys that the data model was expecting. Let me click refresh and see if it works now. Nope. Anyways, if I make my changes in my query and I do my refresh, then it should automatically update within Power Pivot. So let me show a merge between data sources as well. So let me just take a look at my product category again, make sure I have some of the keys I need, like product key. Yeah, I have that in alternate key. Let me show a merge with a different data source, and we'll see the data firewall. So click the data source settings. These are all the different data sources that I've connected to. And I have two references for my local. This is my machine name and then my local host. I'm going to delete those to show that to show the prompting mechanism. And I have these credentials too. Actually, let me start a brand new workbook to clarify this. Okay. So right now I have no credentials in my credential cache for my local database. So now when I connect to my local SQL Server, I'll type in localhost. This was the native database query thing I mentioned. So when you connect to a SQL database or any relational database, there's going to be an area where you can paste in a SQL statement. This is useful functionality, but like I said, once you start using native database query, it breaks our folding model. So it's just basically a one-time execution. Then all filtering on top of that will be done locally. Connect to my local host, and here I get my first credential prompt that you guys have seen. So I'm connecting to localhost, and now it's asking me, do I want to use Windows or database credentials? Each data source, we have a list of predefined credential types you can use. So connecting to an OData feed, for example, it prompts you, do you use an API key? Do you use an organizational ID? Do you use Windows authentication, anonymous? Like it's always going to prompt you to ask you how to actually connect. So I'll connect using Windows credentials. Click Save. And I will connect to my demo database, and I will pick my, let's see, what should I do? I will connect to my product category and just load that right in. Okay. So here's my product data. And I now want to connect to what my database, what my laptop is going to think is a different database. I'll use my database name, so in this case, X1C. Connect, and I should get a prompt again. It's asking me if I want to connect. And I will load the subcategory. So now I have two queries, and I'm going to merge these two together. So I will select product and select subproduct, and I want to merge on the subcategory key with this, not the alternate key. But as soon as I selected it, notice it prompted for privacy levels, right? Because I said fold my localhost to my MMX1C, it's now prompting me and asking me, okay, what's the privacy level for this actual data source? So I'm going to say it's private data. And that way, if the privacy levels match, Power Query then knows it can actually share the data and fold from one data source to another. Okay? So now I've merged those things together. And from there, I could expand all my columns into a single table. Okay, so I have about 10 minutes left. I'm going to talk about a slightly more advanced scenario now. Let me start another new workbook. Actually, before it. Sure. On the match option, the one-to-many, yeah, so you either do the inner join or outer join. That's what the UI lets you do. If you use the expression language or the formula language, there's actually a number of different types of joins that you can do, like the full outer joins and things like that. I'll talk about the expression language next and how you can start playing around with it. I'm just going to give, just scratching the surface, there's a lot you can do with this, but let me, I'll get back to that. So let me add a couple of transformation steps here. And yeah, so now I have these different steps, right? And I called out before, I can step through the steps, and each step has a formula associated with it, right? If I go to the View button, I can click the Advanced Editor, and it brings up the actual Power Query language. So this is officially called the Power Query Formula Language. Unofficially, it's called M. And when Power Query is looking to run a query, it's going to look at this end-to-end. Even though you've defined it in steps, it always looks at the end-to-end to figure out what it can fold back. As an advanced user, as a developer myself, first time I started using Power Query, I jumped immediately into the language because I was curious what I could actually do with this language and what types of transformations and capabilities I can do. And so if I go back to this blank workbook, close this, and I can do front, there's another source called blank query. So I was basically going to start off with a blank query. I'm going to enter in some code. So I can do something simple like if I do hello world, let's treat it as a string. That's great. I can do 1 + 1. That's treated as a string as well, unless I tell it that it's a formula at the beginning. Right? I can do 1 + 1 × 8. And that gives me a bad result because I'm not good at math. But if I put brackets here, I get 16, right? So I can do simple calculations. I can do things that are more advanced. Power Query has a bunch of built-in functions as well. I do list.dates to give me a list of dates. And so this basically gives me my function definition, an example, and a button called invoke. And I can do this, 2013-01 is my start date, and 365 days. And I'm going to do a one-day increment. Now I have a list of dates. I convert that to a table. I showed this in my demo yesterday as well. And now I have a list of dates. And I can start adding additional columns like date.year is my function to give me just the year value from this date. Right, so now I have a date function. And I can copy and paste this whole date function into here that I previously created, because you don't want to watch me type code. Now I basically have a full date dimension, right? A full calendar dimension that I've just generated with Power Query code, with that M language. In this case, it actually defined a function. So I could click invoke to run a new function and create a new date table. Right, so that's creating functions, and you can actually share functions between users. If I wanted to, if I didn't have Power BI, I want to share a query between users, I could go to this script, say view, advanced editor, copy and paste this script, and share that with somebody else. If they paste it into Excel, they'll have the exact same query that I just did. They'll get prompted. They don't get the nice preview. They don't get the nice data management and metadata on top of it that you get with Power BI. But yeah, you can share queries just like you'd share a T-SQL statement between users. Now I have one example. So I can actually create, you know, I can create fairly complicated queries all by themselves. What I find I do most in Power Query, though, is I'll do a mix of using the UI and also tweaking the formula language. And I'll show a quick demo for that now. I have about 5 minutes left. This is a site. It shows box office results. And we see that the data is spread across multiple pages, right? Really common thing for web data is to have it spread across multiple pages. So that's 7 pages in total. And I could create 7 different queries and then append them all together. But I want to use Power Query, some of the code behind, to make this even easier. So if I look at my data set, I see that there's about 100 records per page, and then there's some summary rows at the bottom. So I'm going to have to deal with those as well. But basically, I'll take this URL, come to Power Query, and do a from web, load that in. And again, so I'm loading the web document. It's going to show all the different tables, table structures on that web page. And then finally, anytime you connect to web, it's also going to show you a document. This is going to be the root HTML, and I can drill down if I need to individual XML elements. But Power Query works best if there's some sort of table on the page that it can extract and highlight. So this is the table that I want. This has all the data in it. Click Edit on this. So now I can see my different columns on all the different value, and if I scroll down to the end, I see that those summary values are included here as well. Power Query has a handy feature called Keep Top Rows. I can click this button here. I'm going to say, give me the top 100 rows. And so that will just strip off those last rows, so now I don't have the summary there anymore. So great. That loads in my first page of data. I want to now parameterize that query. Forgive me if you're not a coder, but that's pretty simple to do. I just added, if you're familiar with the syntax, saying that I need to pass something into this function to run it. Right now, I'm not passing in anything. If I click done, it's going to give me a table, and if I click a function, if I give invoke, it just brings the data back. I want to add a parameter to this. So let me zoom in here. I'll call this page. And if I look at the URL, I can see that there's actually a page parameter in here. So I'm going to do this. Say number.toText, pass in my page parameter, and append that. So that's essentially going to, whatever page number I pass into this function, I'm going to put into the URL so I can read back that data. Click done. Now my function says, hey, this takes a page parameter. And I can invoke this with, say, page 3. And it's going to bring back the third page of data. Okay.
I think this deserves applause.
Okay. Well, you can hold the applause. I think there's a more impressive thing coming up. So let me actually name the function. I'll call this getPage. I'll copy this, and I have 1 minute to do the last part of this. Click save. Yeah. If I make any typos, I'm in trouble. So let me create another query, blank query. I have some special syntax in Power Query to give me a list of values. So I'm going to say, give me 1 to 7. That gives me a list from 1 to 7. I say toTable. I'll rename this to page. And I'll say insert a custom column. And my custom column is going to be my function, getPage. Pass in that page column. So it looks like this. Click OK. Expand this. And now I have all pages of data coming in. I'm thinking I should have led this demo with code. But anyways, OK, or this whole session with code. So now I have a page of data. But I have 20 seconds left. If I click OK and apply, I'm going to have a problem. Because my last page of data doesn't have a full 100 records, right? And I actually said keep top and 100 records. And so that's going to be a problem. And so when I go back here and I scroll down to the bottom, I notice I have these yucky summary rows in here. And I don't want that. So let me edit my function. I'm not going to touch my query that's actually pulling the data in. But I'm going to edit my function. And right here where I said keep top 100, I'm going to change that to table.rowCount and pass in the name of the previous table, which was change type in here. So it's going to be the total row count minus 3. I know I always want to take off the last 3 rows. Click done. Now my function's updated. Click apply. And now when I click refresh, it's going to go back out, iterate over all 7 of those pages again, pull in the data. I have a red light flashing at me telling me, you're done, you're done. And now those summary rows are gone from the table. Okay. Definitely should have led with code. OK, so quick next steps to wrap up. Power Query is an add-in. You can download it. This URL, aka.ms/power query, will bring you to the latest Power Query download. You can find out more about Power BI and capabilities there. And this week, we just announced that there's a public preview for the SAP Business Objects connector. There's actually a separate build, something to keep in mind. If you download the release build, it doesn't have SAP support. If you, there's a special build for the public preview of SAP. You can download it there from that link there. Thank you very much for attending. More information about SAP, you can go see the in the pavilion. Quick call out, I'll be at this conference too, the PAST Business Analytics Conference. I'm doing an intermediate session like I did here and also an advanced session that does pure code. And then please fill out the evals if you'd like this session. Thank you very much.